Okay, Bezrat Hashem, let's start. Famous Rashi's and ideas from Parshas Vayeschanan. Okay, so the Parsha begins that Moshe says, I daven to Hashem bo'eis hahi, at that time. What does that time mean? So Rashi says, after I conquered Eretz Sichon and Og. Lachar shekavashti Eretz Sichon v'Og. Moshe thought, maybe the neder, maybe Hashem's promise that he's not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael was canceled. Because we see that it already begun. He had conquered Eretz Sichon and Og. This phrase, Bo'eis Hahi, places this Parshas Vayeschanan as a hemshech, direct hemshech of the end of Devarim. This is Moshe's Moser Shmuz Tochacha to Bnei Yisrael. And again, he's emphasizing here, again, that they conquered Sichon and Og. We'll get back to this, Bezrat Hashem, when we again review Rav Nevin Sol's Mahalach in Parshas Devarim and Vayeschanan. But again, Moshe Rabbeinu refers to Sichon and Og, and the reference to Sichon and Og continues. A few psukim later, Moshe says, next pasuk, Atah Chilos El Haros Es Avdecha. You have begun to show your servant how strong you are. So what does this mean? So Rashi quotes two pshatim. And Moshe continues to say, Mikel Bashmayim Uva'aretz. There's no one like you. There's no power like you. So Rashi says that Moshe was saying, Hashem, you have no cabinet ministers with you. You're all powerful alone. Kishirot Salaso said, no one can stop you. Please forgive me. Be mochel me and let me come into Eretz Yisrael. So that's the drash. But the pshat, Rashi says, is again Sichon and Og. Atochilosa, you have begun to show by having Bnei Yisrael defeat Sichon and Og, you have begun to show your strength in conquering all of the non-Jewish nations. So now, please Hashem, just like I saw Sichon and Og, let me also see the Muhammad against the kings in Eretz Canaan, the 31 kings in Eretz Canaan. Another reference to Sichon and Og. Moshe says then, I want to go see the Har HaTov HaZeh VaHaLevanon. See, here there's a famous Rashi. The Har HaTov is Yerushalayim. That's the best mountain around. It's the mountain that's the ultimate good. Someone says, what's a good mountain? Yerushalayim. And the Levanon, Rashi says, in many places, Zeh Beis HaMikdash. The art scroll, Chumash and Rashi, quotes a whole bunch of psukim in Tanakh, where Rashi tells us that Levanon refers to, from Chazal, that Levanon refers to the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because with the Beis HaMikdash, Melabein Avonoseim Shal Yisrael, our sins become whitened. That means they're forgiven. In Tanakh, the imagery of a white is pure from Averas. So with the Beis HaMikdash, when we offer Karbanos, it inspires us to do tshuva, then it's called Levanon. Right now, we're in the time of Tisha B'Av, and a main aspect of the Avelus of Tisha B'Av is to know what we're missing. Think about what we're missing. We're missing the Beis HaMikdash. And there are many, many aspects of what it means to be missing the Beis HaMikdash. One of them is that we can't get full kapara for our avirus. We can't be fully whitened from our avirus. So that's the reference that the Beis HaMikdash is called Levanon. Okay. Then Moshe continues giving Musar. And here he mentions Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra. Don't add on to the Torah at the beginning of Perek Dalet. And right after he mentions Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra, Baal Tosif means, Rashi says here from Chazal, we're supposed to have four boxes, four compartments with four parshios in our tefillin. If you have five, That's Baal Tosif. We're supposed to have four minim of the lulav. Lulav, esrog, hadas, and arava. If you add a fifth min, that's Baal Tosif. Oh. And then the very next pasuk talks about, you saw what happened by Baal Peor. Baal Peor was a horrific type of avodah zarah, where the Jewish people would relieve themselves in front of the avodah zarah, Rachmano Litzchan. So it's very strange that Baal Peor is mentioned here. And the Mefarshim discussed this question. So Rav Moshe Feinstein explains in a few places in the Darash Moshe the following idea. He says, when you add on to the Torah, it can lead to the very worst things. It can lead to the very worst averus, even to Avodah Zarah. The worst Avodah Zarah. And he quotes an example. There's a world famous Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. The Rambam describes how Avodah Zarah started. I mean, Adam believed in Hashem, and then his kids believed in Hashem. They all spoke about, you know, they believed in Hashem. So what happened to how did Avodah Zarah start? So the Rambam says that in the door of Enosh, so they had good intentions. They said, look at the sun and the moon. The sun, the moon, and the stars reflect Hashem's power. And they said, let us show kavod and honor, and in a sense worship the sun and the stars as part of our recognition of the greatness of Hashem. And that's what they did. And then ultimately, and within a few generations, instead of focusing on the sun and the moon and the stars as expressions of Hashem's power and Hashem's greatness, they ended up ascribing independent power, and ultimately ended up worshipping Avodah Zarah, the sun, the moon, and the stars, and from there it spread to other Avodah Zarah. So you see that adding on can lead to the worst averus. And that's what Rav Moshe points out. That's the pshat in the psukim, that Avodah Zarah is mentioned right after Baal Tosif. And there's a deep idea here. There's a deep idea here. Which is, once you're adding on to the Torah and you're keeping a mitzvah as if Hashem said it but he didn't, then basically you're making the Torah another Lehavdil man-made religion. I'm adding on. So now what you're saying is, it's not Hashem's perfect Torah. It's not perfect. I'm adding on here, adding on there. I'm making it human. So suddenly, once you do that, once the Torah loses its perfect divine authority, because it can be added to, adding equals change. Adding, subtracting equals change. Then once it's man-made, then anything goes. And we see it happening nowadays. People make up new ideas and say they're Torah-based ideas, which is because, and it leads to them thinking, it's another man-made religion, and the Torah is all about whatever humans think makes sense. It's happening nowadays as well. We have to be very careful. The Torah is perfect, Hashem is perfect, and Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra mean that we're saying the Torah basically is not perfect as is. And once you say the Torah is not perfect as is, then all bets are off, and you end up doing what you want. You add here, you take away there, Rachmana Litzlan, and you end up making up your own Torah, being completely out of the Masorah. This is the root of the problem of Baal Tosif. The Torah continues. Moshe says to Bnei Yisrael, keep the mitzvos, ushmartem va'asisem. Guard them, the mitzvos, and keep them. So, keep asisem means to do them, perform them. What does Ushmarta mean? So Rashi says, Zu Mishnah. This means to learn, to study. It's a crucial Rashi. The only way to ensure that you're able to keep the Torah is by learning. You have to know. You have to know. You have to know what the Torah says, to know what the halacha is. Jewish people for thousands of years, B'nai Yisrael, were a learning nation. We study the Torah. We study the Mefarshim. We study the halacha. It's an absolute prerequisite for keeping the Torah. Ushmartem va'asisem. Very, very important. Ushmartem zu Mishnah. Then Moshe, again, refers to the possibility of Avodah Zarah. In Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yates, he says, Upentiso einecha shamayim, you'll raise your eyes up to the shamayim. You'll see the shemesh, the areach, vihishtachaviso lahem, and you'll bow down to them. You'll worship the sun and the stars. So don't do Avodah Zarah. Don't do Avodah Zarah. So the simple pshat is, B'nai Yisrael will fall into the Avodah Zarah, similar to what the Dor Enosh fell into, as we mentioned earlier. But Rav Nemtzel has a comment here. It's a controversial comment. His son told us that other Gedolim didn't like it at all. But Rav Nemtzel holds as the pshat. It sounds like you're going to look up into the Shemayim, and you'll see the Shemesh, and you're going to do Avodah Zarah. The language is a little strange. What, they never saw the sun before? They never saw the sun before? So Rashi noticed that, and Rabbi Rashi writes, Pentisa inecho listakel badavar vilase slave litos achreim. The pasuk means you're going to look at them and focus on them and set your heart and then eventually to avodah zarah. So the simple shot we'll say is Reisa means to see and to focus. Okay, but Rabbi Nemtzel says literally means they're going to see. So he says as follows. Chazal tell us that B'nai Yisrael the Anane HaKavod on six sides all around them. The four sides plus above and beneath them. They were covered by Sukkos, Anane HaKavod. Rav Nevensal says he thinks that B'nai Yisrael in the Midbar never saw the sky. They never saw the sun and the stars and the moon. That's what he writes. And whoever was born in the Midbar, most of the Jews entering Eretz Yisrael were the ones born in the Midbar. They never saw the sun, so they're going to come to Eretz Yisrael. Whoa, they're going to see the sun. Look at this thing. Whoa, the sun, the moon. And they'll be overwhelmed by the greatness. And yeah, they'll be so overwhelmed. Oh my gosh, there must be a power there. And he says, that's the pshat. That's the pshat that there is an additional fear of Avodah Zarah for the generation entering Eretz Yisrael, because Avodah Zarah of worshipping the sun and the moon, because they never saw it before. You never saw it. Oh my gosh, this is incredible. Super powerful thing. He says a similar idea back in Parashas Bo HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chodeshim. This, when Moshe and Aaron were Mekadesh the Chodesh, declared Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This is Lachem. It's for you. So the Mefarshim discuss what the word Lachem means. It's a big discussion. Rabbi Nevensal thinks it could be that this is the only time Moshe and Aaron were Mekadesh the Rosh Chodesh, because after that they were in the Midbar and they never saw the sun and the moon anymore. That's what he says. That's what the word Lachem means. This is for you. This new month is your new month that you're declaring the new moon. You're declaring Rosh Chodesh, because it never happens again. Okay, that's Rav Nevensal's very big chiddush. Okay. Now, the Musa Shmuz continues. And in Pasuk Mem, Moshe finishes his shmuz and he says, I'm commanding you to do the mitzvos, and you'll be here and you'll stay in Eretz Yisrael, kol hayamim, all the yamim. The next pasuk says, "Oz yavde Moshe." Then Moshe set aside the Ari Mikot. So what does the word "oz" mean? Then, like something special happened then. So Reven Saul says, Rashi quotes Wamshat, that at that point, Moshe set his heart to set aside the Ari Mikot. Moshe knows now Hashem has not answered his tefillahs. He won't be going into Eretz Yisrael. He won't be able to finish the mitzvah. But at least he wants to do part. He wants to start. He sets aside three of the Ari Mikot now. And the rest will be set aside when they enter Eretz Yisrael. Rashi points out that they're not going to work yet. Now, the Ari Mikot on the east side of the Yard weren't functional. They were not koltos until the other ones were set aside. But Moshe did whatever he could. So Rav Nevinsol says another pshat is, what does the oz mean? Oz means Moshe Rabbeinu was waiting for who? For B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven. As I explained last week, Rav Nevinsol explains that the Musar Shmuz was to all of Am Yisrael, but the focus of the Shmuz was B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them, you're making a mistake, staying on the east side of the Yarden, staying far away. And that's why he emphasizes Chet Meraglim. And that's why he emphasizes the fight against Og and Sichon, to show that Hashem has started helping them already, and is going to help us in Eretz Yisrael too. We've begun conquering Eretz Yisrael. Come with us into Eretz Yisrael. Don't stay here. And Rav Nevinsol says Moshe was waiting, but now his hopes were dashed. He says now, after the Musar Shmuz ended, and B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven did not approach Moshe, did not come forward and say, okay, we're changing our minds. So what happens? Then Moshe is forced, now he can set aside the Ari Mikot. He didn't want to do it yet. He was waiting. He was hoping, what's the point? He was hoping he wouldn't have to do it. He was hoping he wouldn't have to set aside the Ari Mikot. Because if all the Jews went into Eretz Yisrael, so they'd all be in Eretz Yisrael mamish, proper, not on the east side. But now that B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven didn't come forward, in a sense, the Musar Shmuz didn't bring about the result Moshe wanted, then Oz, okay, now Moshe, it's now or never, he has to do it now, and set aside the Ari Mikot now, because now they will be needed on this side of the Yarden as well. Okay, then you have the Aseres HaDibros. There's a huge amount to say, but this is one pasuk here. In Perikei Pasuk Tezvav, we say it. It's about Shabbos. V'zacharta gevet ha'isa be'aretz Mitzrayim. Remember, you were a slave in Mitzrayim. So Rashi says, Almanas kein pedoacha she'tiyu lo eved, the tishmar mitzvosav. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim on the condition that you shall be a slave to him and keep the mitzvos. In Mitzrayim, we had nothing. We were slaves. Nothing. No future, nothing. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. He freed us. He gave us literally everything. But there was a condition. I'm taking you out of slavery in Mitzrayim in order to obligate you and give you the opportunity to serve me. Hakaras HaTov is one fundamental aspect of our Chiyuv Avodas Hashem. We have to recognize we owe Hashem everything. Everything. From A to Z. That we're alive. That's a big one. That we're alive. There's an old famous commercial for Folgers coffee. The jingle was, the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. It's an old commercial. So there's a... I saw some people write, the best part of waking up is waking up. Thank Hashem that we're alive. Thank Hashem that our bodies work, etc. And Hashem wants us, the thanks is, do what I ask you to do. So here, thank Hashem that we're free, that we're not slaves anymore. And that's what Hashem said. I took you out of Mitzrayim in order to serve me. Okay. We also have the Parsha of Shema. There's again a world-famous Rashi here in Perek Vav, Pasuk Vav. Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayom, that I commanded you today. So Rashi says we're supposed to view the mitzvos as if they were commanded today. Lo yubeinecha kidiyot gama yishana. It shouldn't be like an old edict that's been around that no one really cares about. El kechadasha, a new one. Hakol ratzin likras. Everyone runs to read it. When you go to seminary, there's a bulletin board. The first day, oh, it's so interesting. There's this, there's that. Or you have a computer screen. So the first day, oh, it's so exciting to look at. And then 6 months later, oh, did you notice the board? Yeah, nothing special. So we're supposed to view the Torah as if it's the first day. Be excited about it. The challenge. It's like we got the Torah, if we viewed it as if we got the Torah today, we'd be running to learn and excited to learn more and more. In Parag Vav Pasuk Kaf, the Torah refers to the mitzvah of see Pritis Shraim to our children. Ki Sholcha bin Chamachar Lemor. When your child asks you tomorrow, what are these mitzvahs, and you give them the answer. So what does Machar mean? Tomorrow. So Rashi says the Pashup Shot is the word Machar sometimes doesn't mean tomorrow. It means sometime in the future. Sometime in the future. So in the future, when your kids ask you, you tell them the story. But there's a Kliyukr back in Parsha's bow that points out as follows. It says Machar by the... This question here in Vashanan is the question of the Chacham. Back in Parsha's bow, the Torah also says, Ki Yisholcha Bincha Machar Lemor Mazos. What is this? That's the question of the Tam. It says the word Machar. And by the question of the... And by the Rasha, it doesn't say the word Machar. It just says, they'll say to you, what is all this work you're doing? So it's very striking. By the Chacham and the Tam, the Torah says the word Machar. And by the Rasha, the Torah doesn't. Why? So the Kliyukr says that the Torah is hinting to a fundamental point that the Chacham and the Tam, they ask the question the right way. They ask tomorrow. Well, if they're asking tomorrow, what do they do today? The answer is they did the mitzvah. The Kliyukr said the word Machar is a remez to Naaseh v'Nishma. You ask tomorrow, you do it today. The Rasha says, I want to know what is all this work you're doing, meaning, if I don't get an answer, I might not do it. He's asking now. But the Torah is hinting, the Chacham and the Tam, they ask tomorrow. The remez is, today they do, tomorrow they ask. It's Naaseh v'Nishma. It's a very nice pshat that the Kliyukr says back in Parsha's bow. And I saw that some of the Mefarshim point out that this is hinted at in the Haggadah itself. It's very striking. When we ask the questions, when at the end of Magid, the Torah says, these are the three things that we have to say at the Seder. And the language is matzah zu she'anu ochim al shumma. This matzah that we're eating, why? Now, that's not really the regular way to write a question in Hebrew. The regular way is lama ochli matzah b'layla zu. Why do we eat matzah tonight? So it's interesting. There's a subtle change. So some of the Mefarshim say as follows. The regular way could imply that I'm not going to do the mitzvah unless I know the reason. Why are we eating matzah tonight? So, I want an answer. So it could mean, you know, I just want an explanation. Or it could mean I'm not going to do it until I get an explanation. But Haggadah wanted to write it very carefully. The Haggadah wrote the question in a way where the eating of the matzah is not part of the question. Matzah zu she'anu ochlim al shumma. The matzah which we're eating, why? I'm eating the matzah, that's a given. Then please tell me why. So the way the Baal Haggadah writes the question is a subtle hint to Naaseh v'Nishma And we see the same subtle hint in the Kli Yoker's comments on how the Torah presents the questions of the Chacham and the Tam as opposed to the Rasha. Okay, we'll stop here.